Hello, I'm going to read. I'm going to read your chart. There we go. Now you have a very interesting chart. 12th house Scorpio. Hang on. Okay. Yeah, 12th house Scorpio. Now before we get started, we're not going to talk about your aspects, your oppositions, your squares, your trines. My goal in this about 30-minute video is just to talk about your planetary archetypes, the 10 major players, okay, the zodiac signs, and the astrological houses, right? Now, the planets, they will represent your pre-birth intentions. And that means that before you incarnated in a body, you wanted to accomplish something in this life that you possibly started in another lifetime, and you want to work on it even more and try to have it finished off by the end of your physical life. And that will balance out what we will see in symbol with your astrology chart. Okay? And I'll talk about that a little bit more. Because you're working with all these planets, which are influences that are reverberating out from, we could say, our solar system, our solar logos. But these planets are actually energy centers within us. Okay. The outside is just a reflection of our inside. Okay. And everything that you experience within your life is just experimental work in order to try to get these things successful in our life. And this also represents the information and the evolution in the course of your one lifetime from when you entered at birth and when. Physical birth, and when you leave at physical death as a soul and continue moving on in the soul growth process. So, know that each planet is a potential to accomplish something in a certain area of life. And we can use the houses as the area. All right. With the houses, while we're talking about houses, they give a general idea of where you came from in another lifetime. The size of the house. So if there's a smaller house that is less than 30 degrees, then that means there wasn't a lot of time and energy spent or used during that other lifetime. So you'll come into this lifetime, incarnate in order to expand those houses. But looking at your chart right now, surprisingly, all your houses, the house sizes are relatively balanced. They're almost 30 degrees, or they're just a little bit over 30 degrees. Okay. The zodiac signs, those are the expressions that can create the patterns and the habits, how you express yourself in a particular cycle within your life. I usually use the lifeline to identify these patterns, especially early in life. Okay, because there's a lot of times we will create patterns and habits that we carry into our adult life that we haven't identified. And until we identify, acknowledge these habitual patterns from early in our life, then they stay with us. They just loop back around, loop back around, loop back around And as we get older, and we a lot of times we'll become discontent or angry and not know why, because these subconscious compulsions stem or linked or are linked to early childhood. They stem from something that happened early in life. Okay. There we go. I like to show this image before we get started because the ascendant, let's see, the ascendant is important. Why? Because, again, before we incarnated, we agreed to have a set of qualities that we aim to develop, to perfect, and radiate outward to our environment in order to support our consciousness growth and to support the evolution of humanity and to support the consciousness of the planet. The planetary logos is a living being without a living consciousness, and humanity mixes in with the planet's consciousness, humanity's consciousness, the collective consciousness. We are the fire, we are the energy to bring in to the planetary consciousness, which we could appear, which it can appear as a like a lower consciousness, even though it's mostly neutral, and we're rising this planet up together. That's more of a objective, esoteric vantage point, which your energy is very objective, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So the ascendant, the nadir. This is subjective, the subjective part of your psyche, the inner consciousness, the intuitional consciousness. It's also where the personal development and family development within your life, that the journey that you're on will be developed. The descendant is the consciousness of others and the awareness of your relationships. Okay. And the midheaven, it's important because it's your outer consciousness, it's your rational awareness. This is more of the experimental ways to do things better. Okay, the inner, your midheaven, whatever zodiac sign it is, which is Leo, it looks like Leo. So this energy is mostly behind many of the choices that you have made and intend to make in your lifetime. Leo type of expressions. Okay. In short, the house, the astrological houses, they represent the past. The zodiac signs, they represent the present moment, your now moment. And when I use the lifeline, these cycles that you'll go through in your life will be identified with the zodiac sign. Okay. And then we can view the planets, the planetary archetypes, as the pre-birth intentions, the future tense. You'll have a focus wherever the planets are positioned on that type of development and on that type of expression in your life. Here's a quick description of the houses. All right. This is also your chart. I've just removed all the planets. And I've also removed all the aspects with the planets. Now here's an image of your chart with all the planets, all the 10 planets, the major players. I also have your North Node, your South Node, part of Fortune, your Lilith, four major asteroids. I put all of this in here just so that your subconsciousness can have a snapshot, but we're not going to get this deep into your chart today. I just want to give you a quick overview of your chart with the more important players in your life, which are the 10 planets. Okay. Now, also use tarot. Tarot is a very powerful symbolic spiritual modality because there's symbols within symbols, and the universal meanings that are applied to these symbols, our subconsciousness already knows what these tarot keys mean. But our conscious mind, if we haven't spent time or energy learning tarot or getting familiar with tarot in this lifetime, then it may appear like we don't know what we're looking at, and that's okay. But I like to use tarot with astrology because I already know that the collective consciousness of humanity, tarot has been around for many millennia. So the energy is there, the energy is strong, and the energy is very useful for the subconscious. All right. But I'll talk a little bit about how tarot and astrology works together. Let me see. I want to use that doesn't work. Eraser. There we go. Okay, good. This works. I'm trying to get used to Zoom's drawing tool. Your ascendant is Scorpio, right? And just remember that your ascendant and your first house is basically how you will exhibit your Scorpio qualities in a day-to-day basis throughout your life, right? Even though, well, you're actually, see, you're also a Scorpio. Okay. And you have a Scorpio ascendant. This is very powerful personality when it comes to Scorpio. So I recommend to learn the zodiac signs if you haven't already, because a lot of the repeatable circumstances that will happen in your life, these repeatable patterns, will be established in your early childhood, which is your personal development. Okay. Let's talk about your personal development quadrant right here. From age 0 up to probably age 25, you are building a physical body, which is your first house, a emotional body, which is your second house, and then a mental body, your third house. And this is also left brain. Okay. Ninth house is right brain. Third house is left brain. You're working on your personal development in your young childhood and young adulthood, your adolescent period. We can know that probably around age, up until age, I'm gonna guess probably 10, age 10, age 12. I haven't done the math. I'm just guessing on the degrees by looking at them. Your Mercury and your Pluto, these are strong potentials in early childhood that become activated. All right. So you're with a Sagittarius type of expression. You're gonna have grandiose plans as a child in a childlike way. You enjoy exploring new opportunities and possibilities. You probably were very enthusiastic as a child. Big thoughts, big, the world seemed very small and you wanted it big. And know, with this being first house, as you get older, and I can't remember your age, but when you get a lot older, a lot of these first house qualities are still going to be playing out for you. So you have the potential to be a strong influencer towards others, and possibly in this day and age, gaining followers online. But you do have a Scorpio ascendant, and you are Scorpio, which is very secretive. So there is that type of, if you could, I can see how you might be one pointed in a direction which could work for you. Think of Taylor Swift. I mean, she's very single definition with big ideas, big plans, big followers. You carry a little bit of that energy. I'm not saying you're Taylor Swift or anything like her, but she is just a visual of how your Pluto and Mercury in your first house within Sagittarius, very fiery, could be good for your energy. Well, let's also know that exploration and travel is really good for your energy and your growth. Okay. So you have a very intense personality, very intense. Pluto in the first house, Scorpio ascendant, you are Scorpio. You have Sagittarius in the first house. So you're going to be very passionate about whatever you're involved in. And a lot of people, a lot of easygoing souls that come around you may feel uncomfortable. Some may feel a little uncomfortable because the intensity that you carry. That's okay. I mean, it's not good or bad, but it's how you use your energy and how you present yourself to the world, which we'll talk about that with your Leo Midheaven. Okay. Also, you may have like a unusual charisma. Some people may be very interested in you, but not know how to approach you. And it's important for you to learn how to use your personal power appropriately. Okay, this could be challenging for yourself, but also know that you have a potent force to that you can use towards others for the greater good. Maybe helping others learn how to heal themselves. But in order for that to be taught or shown, of course, it has to be applied to yourself first. All right. With Mercury in that first house, it's probably good that Mercury's there because of your Scorpio, Scorpio type of influences. Mercury is there to help you become more verbal, more communicative and eager to speak your ideas and opinions. It's sort of the like Mercury's in Sagittarius normally means very lively and definitely intelligent and seem somewhat like a chatterbox. I just can talk very fast sometimes, especially if you get excited. Right. And you're passionate about talking about something, or you make a connection with someone who is actively listening and you're actively listening to them. All right. So let's go ahead and move on to Neptune in your Capricorn. This is an interesting placement because it's at 29 degrees, about to enter the Aquarius. Right, still in the middle of the third house, but Neptune and Capricorn seems you seem to be more contemplative and reflective, especially towards like traditional or spiritual outlooks. And you definitely have a very objective and logical approach towards religious perspectives, and that may be there to help offset your intensity from your first house. Okay, Neptune will sort of dilute a little bit of the energy or help with that third house, that mental body, that rational thinking. to help offset a lot of that emotional depth from your first house. And within your first quadrant, your personal development, right? Let's go ahead and move on to your second quadrant, which is family development. There we go. You have Uranus right there in the fourth house. Now, Uranus, maybe in a past lifetime, there was some difficulty within the family or childhood development. And it could have carried over into this lifetime. You could have had some unsettling or unstable childhood experiences with your parents. There's also the potential of abrupt changes in locations or even family relationships. And this could have made you feel a little insecure in a lot of ways. But on the other hand, you were given more freedom, which allowed less pressure from the influence of your parents to be a certain way. Like, you should be this way. You need to do this. You need to do that. So this allowed you the freedom to individualize with your own growth and grow your personality within a family structure. Okay. We can see already that just by the bottom half of your chart, you have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven planets. So you're a very subjective individual, very rich inner world. And even with the three planets on the top half of the chart, which is your objective vantage point, your objective world, you have your sun and Venus and Scorpio almost touching your ascendant. That's wild. I mean, they're basically just barely above your ascendant. 12 degrees, 12 degrees, 11 degrees. Yeah, very rich inner world. Emotional depth is very obvious within your energy. Well, let's go back down here to family development. And as your lifeline, if we were using your lifeline, you would probably be around age 40 right here. Okay. So the potential for your Piscean expressions in your 40s, you have Jupiter here that will become activated. All right. Now, keep in mind when I say activated, it's not like these planets are not working with you at certain ages. They're always reverberating through us, sound, frequency, and vibration. But where we focus on these planets and the zodiac signs in the houses gives us clues on what our soul wants to develop in this lifetime. Okay. So Pisces in the fifth house, you're probably around age 40. Your psychic ability is going to be, if it's not already, but it will be enhanced. You'll be very sensitive in a lot of ways because Pisces is traditionally at home. I mean, Jupiter is traditionally at home in Pisces. Neptune is the higher octave of Jupiter. And normally I associate Neptune with Pisces. But even knowing that Jupiter is in Pisces for you, you have the ability to identify with others and maybe meet them for where they're at in their life and not take advantage of them, right? You have this mercifulness, compassionate side of you. And Jupiter is probably placed here to help with that offset intensity of your Scorpio ascendant and your Scorpio sun and even your Scorpio Venus, which we'll talk about the Sun and the Venus when we get around to your career development. Okay. Jupiter is the giving planet. It's the benevolent planet. It rewards you when you're actually focused on receiving correctly. All right. We're always trying to be in the receptive state, whether we know it or not. And a clue on how we know we're in a receptive state is when we are focused on abundance, when we're focused on joy, when we're focused on love. But when we're focused on non-receptive states such as lack or fear or denial or guilt, then we lower our vibration and we'll attract in those type of experiences until we can rise back up into the where we can experience the joys of life. And Jupiter is there to help you with that in Pisces. Okay. Let's go ahead and finish off your family development quadrant, your second quadrant. You have Saturn in Aries. And that's interesting because it's at 29 degrees, getting ready to enter Taurus. 29 degrees is endings, getting ready to start a new beginning when it comes to Saturn influences. But watch out for suppressing your anger, your aggressiveness. Okay. You got to get that out somehow. Like a lot of people will channel their anger or any type of suppressed primal forces, primal energies into creativity. Or you could even seek to serve others and get outside of self. But watch out for escapism, right? We can't avoid ourselves. We're stuck with ourselves this entire life. So by seeking to serve others will allow us not to concentrate or suppress a lot of anger that you may have and not realize it or not know why. And again, it could stem from childhood. It could stem from past relationships. It could stem from fear of the unknown in the future. Just don't know. But instead, focus on developing self-confidence and courage in yourself. And a lot of that energy will not be suppressed. Okay. Saturn's there to help with your work and your health and also to create balance in your day-to-day life, to be of service, okay? But watch out for taking that too seriously, because Saturn could, on the lower influential side, turn a lot of habits into workaholic habits, or even help to a detriment where you might become a hypochondriac, and we don't need to focus in that direction, okay? But you do have your moon also right there in Taurus. So your emotional displays that you give to the world, they don't really project out that much when it comes to your moon. All right. You may come across as very calm instead of high strung or, but just. And this also doesn't mean you were that way in early childhood, but you could eventually grow into having this calming effect that appear this appearance, a calming appearance. But just watch out for being stubborn and know that change is good. A lot of Taurian energy doesn't like change. It seeks comfort. It focuses very strongly on desires. I mean, it's fixed earth. Taurus is fixed earth. So just know not to seek too much comfort. But you do have a lot of fire there to help you with your Mercury, Pluto, and Saturn. with those zodiac signs to sort of help you accept change for your growth. Okay. But know that one thing that can help you with your change is that physical affection is important for your energy. All right. Touch and a loving relationship. But just watch out when you don't have that available, that loving relationship, then you could substitute that for, you could substitute something for that emotional comfort or love. It could be overeating, it could be anything to fill in that gap. And just be aware of it. That's all. Okay. All right. Now, your social development, you don't have any planets. It's empty. Right? This is already well developed. And that might be because in a previous lifetime, you focused in this area and mastered it. So it's already in your social, it's already in your subconscious. You just got to channel your seventh, eighth, and ninth house qualities. You can actually bring them in to other aspects of your life for your use. Like, for example, eighth house. Your eighth house is a house where it's probably good for you to be able to identify other people's it's good to be able to relate to other people and actively listen to them, okay? When it comes to your Gemini in the eighth house, because Gemini is all about discernment and communication, and these qualities are already well developed in your subconsciousness, and by you being aware of it, then you can just channel it within yourself and think about applying it towards your relationship to yourself and to others. All right. But Taurus is the ruler. This is something I kind of overlooked. Let me just back up a little bit. I'm going to erase. Let's see. I'm going to go back to your first quadrant. I'm going to quickly do this so we can get on to your fourth quadrant. So with Scorpio being on the cusp, it is the ruler of your personal development. Okay. Scorpio is assigned to key 13. There's a lot of symbols here. Transformation, right? Regeneration. We could say, just to simplify it, if you're having difficulty with your personal development on a weekly or monthly basis, then you could make the conscious choice to focus on the ruler of Scorpio, which is Pluto. All right. And then with the knowing of your first house Scorpio, with Pluto in your first house, and also actually it's Sagittarius Pluto, not to, but Pluto is the ruler of your first quadrant. So think about Sagittarius expressions, Pluto forces, okay? Because planets are natural forces and they are conscious, they are intelligent, they are living. Right. And then you can use the influence of the Pluto blow through the zodiac sign of Sagittarius, right? With the Z Z Sagittarius attributions. All right. So Pluto is the ruler of your first quadrant. Your second quadrant, oh, this is so interesting, is ruled by Aquarius. And what is the ruler of Aquarius? Uranus, right there. Uranus is the ruler. So when it comes to family development and you feel like you're out of flow, out of sync, think about your zodiac sign of Aquarius and the planet Uranus. All right. Learn these attributions and then know or visualize you working on your family development with Aquarius and Uranus. Okay. This entire quadrant is ruled by Uranus. All right. Now, your third quadrant, your social development, even though there's no planets there, it's ruled by Taurus. And the ruling planet assigned to Taurus is Venus. Okay. And the tarot key that Taurus is assigned to is key five, the Hierophant. So in your social development, if you feel like you're out of flow, when it comes to these type of qualities, social development qualities, working with others, then know the symbols of Taurus and Venus, and you can apply the Venus, even Scorpio, Venetian qualities to your social development. All right. Consciously, this may not make sense in the beginning, but let it sink down into your subconsciousness with these symbols, and eventually the unfoldment will happen. Okay. A lot of this is not supposed to just make sense like 1 + 1 = 2, but the symbols are universal languages. The symbols are the universal language for our subconsciousness. Okay. And the Hierophant, there's so many symbols here that could be used for helping you guide the social development within your life. Okay, is that the green here in the Hierophant's robe? That's the Scorpio color. Okay. So that just knowing little things like this, the subconsciousness already knows, and then the subconsciousness releases it to your consciousness mind. And this will expand your awareness. This will allow your consciousness growth to grow faster, and you will begin to know yourself a lot faster also within your growth, within your cycles of life. There are some things that just will not unfold until later in life, but it's always nice to be on schedule, or I dare to say that, because really we're exactly where we need to be at all times and all moments. But I'm just trying to give the conceptual idea of using these symbols can be beneficial. All right, now as for the fourth quadrant, you have Leo as the ruler. Fourth quadrant, the cusp is Leo. The ruling planet of Leo is the sun, right? And the sun is actually assigned to, I mean, excuse me, the Leo is assigned to key eight. Erase. There we go. Yeah, key eight. As for career development, this is not going to un this quadrant is not going to unravel what an individual is going to do for their entire career. But what it means is how we present ourselves to the world. Like what I mentioned earlier with your Midhaven, Leo. I wouldn't be surprised if your appearance, how you want to be perceived in the world, is very fashionable in a sense. Okay. I would expect that. Leo's, and you have a lot of fire already. That's being used with your Sagittarius and Aries. But now you have your Leo Midhaven, which will want to put you in the middle of everything that you're passionate about, okay? And that can include people. But at the same time, you have this Scorpio sun and Venus in Scorpio, which appears as very secretive. So working behind the scenes is also a part of you. There's aspects within you that want both. And that'll be for you to figure out. Okay. But it's probably good that you have Leo as your midheaven to, again, try to balance out some of this inner world you have is very, very intense. Right? But you have Mars right here in Virgo. And that means that your standards are high. And a lot of Leos, they can appear that way, right? Leos, think of the sun in the center of the solar system. And what does the sun do? Not only does what does it do, which is all giving, it's projecting out energy, giving everything away, taking nothing in, right? But at the same time, the sun wants to be in the center of the solar system, figuratively speaking. And a lot of Leos want to be in the center of everything that revolves around it. Okay, that's why Mars in Virgo might be really good for your high standards or your perfectionism that you have. And it's just how you use it. And Mars in 11th house is actually really good for being a team player and collaborating with others who share your goals and your ideas and your intentions. That'll get you excited. And team sports might even be good. Even if you're a coach, or could be group endeavors, could be anything where you're affiliated with the group. But down here, I'm going to change the color to blue. You have this. Yeah, you got all this fixed fire, Leo fixed fire, and then you have fixed water. Deep, deep, emotional, quiet, complex, very private. That's what it appears to be through symbol. And others may have a difficult time, or not, it might not be easy for them to get to know or understand you eventually. You may even have this cautious side towards you or towards others, right? Although you're very intuitive, you have a strong, immediate knowing of others, even if it's not clear why. There might be times you can't describe it with words, but it's more like a feeling, a deep feeling within. And so the people that you will be attracted to, they'll need to be able to reach some of that deep emotional involvement that you have within your vibration. And an intense love bond or attachment is what your energy is seeking. Okay. And once you're committed, you're very loyal, but also you may expect the same from your partner, so watch out for that. Okay. No expectations. No expectations. Now, being a female, even though, let's see, one, two, three. Yeah. One, two, three. Wait, one, two, three. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, your receptive qualities are your temperament. And when I go deeper in astrological analysis, with this is supposed to only be a 30-minute reading, very short, very quick. I actually divide up the temperament that the personality will exhibit throughout lifetime. And you have a very receptive component within you, within your vibration. And so you may put these expectations on others, and it may be hard or difficult for you to not do that. Okay. You love mysteries and the secret side of life, so you may be attracted to people who are also appear mysterious, and you have a tendency to want to really know what's going on. Again, Scorpio likes to go deep. Okay. With that Venus in Scorpio, though, again, very deep, intense, passionate union with your love. And it could be with another person, or it could be creative endeavors, it could be art. You'll have very deep emotional bonds there. Okay. And I don't, I'm going to say this, but it doesn't mean, it's just symbol. Okay. Always remember this is all symbol. It's not prophecy or, I don't, a lot of people will use astrology that way, but I do know with, through symbol, right here, your sun and your Venus is at the end of your natal chart, 360 degrees. And so there could be a lot of endings in your life. It could be endings with relationships. It could be endings through physical death. Not sure. But Scorpio is about transformations. Okay. And these endings and these deaths that may occur, which they will, they all occur with all of us. We're constantly having new beginnings and new endings. But with your particular chart, your endings, try to again talk about, we talked about your courage and your inner strength from your sixth house, your moon over here. It's important for you to recognize and have the feelings and then integrate them, okay? And grow from them, not wallow in them. Scorpios tend to have a pattern, a habit of hanging on to the past. And that could be very detrimental to your energy. Recognize it, yes. Acknowledge it, yes. But then integrate it with your intense personality, with your willingness to be strong, with your own self-development, because that's your moon in your Saturn in your sixth house. You'll be able to push through and learn from those experiences. Okay. 12th house is about endings. All right. Letting go and integration. Let's move on and finish up by, I want to talk about vibrational astrology. Now, vibrational astrology is something else that I do on top of the traditional astrology. Vibrational astrology is when we take your natal chart, which is your first harmonic, you bring in your one vibe, your first harmonic into your life when you're born, and it stays with you your whole life. Now, the vibration will modulate, but that point in time, in space-time, when you were born and you took on a physical form is your first harmonic. We will take that first harmonic and magnify it. Okay. And this is where vibrational astrology will take all the angles between all the planets and also multiply by that vibration to magnify and create orbs of any aspects from that mathematical problem. Don't worry too much about it, but that's how it works. Of course, your Mars and Virgo probably wants to understand that more, and I'd be happy to explain it in detail later on. But your top three strongest vibrations are out of all 360 degrees, right? Each degree is a vibration. Your chart is 360 degrees. Your strongest vibration is the 345th harmonic. Here are some characteristics for your 345th vibration. No, basically, your label would be you're taking your thoughts and then creating action. Okay. So we can see already, if we look at your chart over here, this is the magnified version of your chart and the 345th vibration, more fire, right? This is a strong orb. You've got one, two, three oppositions, one, two, three, four squares pointing up to your eighth house. This is a very transformative house when it comes to relating to others. All right. You could be like a catalyst in a sense when it comes to others. But you try to read over. I have there's way more description to the 345th vibration, but I just listed five to give you an idea of how you take your thoughts and then you create action, which will create manifestation within your reality. All right. The tarot key assigned to your 345th vibe is the fiery card of Ten of Wands, Lord of Oppression. And you have the ambition, which has what lead to significant achievements, but at the cost of personal freedom and well-being. Be watchful of burnout and collapse of structures already built. And that actually makes sense when we go back to your first harmonic. If we look at your chart again, it said, watch out for personal, I mean, at the cost of personal freedom and well-being, watch out for burnout and collapse. Over here, your Saturn and your Moon in your workhouse, serving others, right? Being of service. You'll achieve. You'll do great. You'll achieve. You'll rise to the top. But at what cost? Because remember what your 12th house is. It's about endings. It's about integration. So you got all of this. Oops. Where'd my pen go? Here we go. You got all of this over here. Daily activities. Watch out for burnout with the fire. Saturn's there trying to help you. Okay. And so is your moon. But just know that everything we create is destined to end, whether in our lifetime, when we create it, or another lifetime. It's important that you're aware of why you are thinking. Let's go back here. Let's delete this. Why you are thinking what your thoughts are, the thought stream that you have, you're tapped into, which will create action. All right. Your beingness. All right. And just know that when you're focused on within your journey, you're focused on what brings you joy and delivers your growth for expansion of awareness, and your consciousness is evolving. Think of your soul. I'm going to go ahead and let me stop sharing. Okay, so just be aware of these symbolic energies that I've presented to you today, and know that on a soul level, you sort of have a little map, a snapshot of the potentialities that you could focus towards with the planets, planet positions, right? And these are your pre-birth intents. These types of identifications will help you expand your awareness and know who you are. It's so important. We have to know who we are, because once we know our energy, we know what we could say, the the purpose of our soul in this lifetime, then we're able to accept ourselves. Okay. Once we accept ourselves, then we become the creator. All right. We become part of the plan, the cosmic plan, and we're contributing to humanity while we are growing our own consciousness. Okay. We're very transit here. And our goal is to understand ourselves. Remember, okay, we're divine sparks. We're part of the creator. We're co-creators. Okay. All right. I hope this was helpful and I enjoyed reading your chart. Thank you very much.